You know, I was just posting a totally normal dumb thought, nothing to do with anything. And I got one of these replies, and instead of pussy in bio, it was again from like a first name, bunch of numbers, garbage account, but it said find love in bio. And I was like, wow, that is a new one. That is,
Damn.
it's not pussy, it's not tits, it's not nudes. It's like, we're promising a lot more in bio. If you want to entice people, I don't know, maybe you need to promise a little bit more than pussy.
How about like free rent in bio? Hey everyone, I'm Caitlin Burns, and you're listening to Cancel Me Daddy, the show where we take a closer look at all the panic around cancel culture with thoughtful analysis and verbal shitposting. Joining me today is one of my favorite people on Twitter, and yes, I'm still refusing to call it X. I will always dead name Twitter. We have Miles Klee, who is a culture writer at Rolling Stone. According to his bio over there, he's covering the weirder parts of the internet, which, you know, honestly is just the perfect fit for this show. Miles, thanks for coming on today.
Hey, Caitlin. Thanks for having me on.
Like I said before we started recording, I've wanted to have you on the show for the longest time. And when I saw you working on this story about the like nudes or pussy and bio bots going around Twitter, I'm like, this has Cancel Me Daddy written all over it. So I've read the story now, but I always like to give people who come on the show a chance to like put their own work in their own words. So like, I'm curious, why did you choose that to write about on that particular day? And like, what did you learn while researching this?
Yeah, so when I cover a phenomenon online, it's usually because it's reached a certain threshold or it kind of breaks through into the collective consciousness more directly. In this case, the porn bots that I wrote about had become so prevalent and it's like so infested the platform that, you know, human people were doing jokes about it, doing memes about it. Once something becomes a meme and once everyone is having fun with a meme, then I think it's always a great time to wind it back and try to figure out where that started and how it took off. Because, you know, if you just logged on for the first time yesterday, first of all, that would be a horrific experience. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. You need a certain level of brainworms to comprehend what's going on there now. But you would be getting all these replies that say, you know, pussy in bio or, you know, my nudes in bio. And you would just not know what to think of it. But it would become even more confusing if you then saw your friends were also posting my pussy in bio as a joke. So there's just a lot to untangle there. And you know, we have seen so much spam. So much more spam on Twitter, you know, in the last year and a half since Musk took the platform over. But this type of spam was just a new form of what has been around for a while. But it seemed like all these bots just sort of converged on this one approach that is pretty funny and blunt and vulgar. So it's a great microcosm of where the site is at today.
Yeah, one thing that your article notes is the sort of they put blocks between the letters. I don't really know. I'm not techie enough to like know about like font manipulation on Twitter, but they put these blocks in between the letters. And you made the point in your story that people think that this is to get around like automatic filters that are on the site.
Yeah, I talked to a data scientist who goes by @conspirator0. Writes a Substack newsletter about kind of social media manipulation. I totally recommend giving them a follow. Their stuff is great. It was my hunch, and they said this is probably the case, which is that there are these weird blank rectangular characters or just spaces in between the letters when these bots are saying my pussy in bio. And that is probably to get around the basic language filters that are on Twitter that would, you know, downrank that stuff or hide it in replies. I think this stuff often does get hidden in replies too. I've noticed that in my own replies. If there's a hidden response and you have to click, you know, show me that anyway, sometimes it's just that spam. So it doesn't always work, but it probably originated as a way to circumvent sort of the most basic controls of we're not just going to show a tweet that says pussy. And yeah, as we've seen, you know, a lot of the most basic controls on Twitter have failed. Famously, the guy that Musk let back on after he shared child sexual abuse imagery, that image itself should have been caught by this kind of like perceptual hashing system that Twitter had in place. So they're not really up to the task of even doing kind of like the basic automated moderation anymore, let alone human guided moderation, because all those people have been fired. So there's a huge strain, it seems, on these kind of internal systems, and some of those may even have just been turned off, apparently, because everything's getting through at this point.
What do you think the point is of these bots? Like, what are the account, like, whoever is making these accounts, and you said in the piece it's likely like an automatic account creation, I forget the word that you used for it, but it's like an automated process to create new accounts and spam these things. Like, what do you think they're after? What's the point of all of it?
Yeah, so it's likely that you know, there's so many of these accounts, and they get created almost as fast as they get taken down. So yes, there's probably someone running a program that just continually signs up new accounts, starts spamming the same sort of stuff, possibly cycles through even some of the same pictures, because the profiles also have kind of like scantily clad women or whatever. So when you kind of go to one of those profiles, if you look at the link that they're trying to get you to click, they're all very suspicious, spammy links. They're flagged by like Norton antivirus and stuff like that, so as potentially risky. So most likely they are running a numbers game where 999 out of 1,000 people are not going to see that tweet and say, oh, I do want to check out someone's pussy in their bio, and click on that. But if you are running that scam widely enough and often enough and spamming enough, then, you know, someone is eventually going to click that link. They'll fall for it. And at that point, you know, without doing it yourself, it's unclear what would happen, but probably that is the first step to getting your personal information, getting your financial information, something like that. It's probably a phishing scam. You know, that could include everything from clicking the link and you are downloading malware that infects your computer and scrapes your personal data. It could take you to, you know, some kind of fake OnlyFans type site where you put in your credit card information thinking you're signing up for a site like that. But yeah, unless you actually went to the trouble of getting scammed yourself, it's difficult to say exactly what it would be like, but that's probably it.
Why do you think it reached meme status? Like, that's the part that I think is the funniest about all of this. Like, how did it get there?
There's a couple ways you could look at it. I think there's the stylistic element. Like, memes really thrive on recognizable kind of pattern and style. Mm-hmm. And so they have this very distinct all caps spaced out letters. That's something that can be, you know, like mimicked over and over again in different circumstances and still be recognizable, which is kind of like what you need for a meme. I think the other element is, as I said, it's super prominent. Everyone has experienced this. Everyone can kind of laugh about these bots clogging up your replies. Mm-hmm. And then I think finally the last element is, like, yes, it's, you know, sexual, which I think is, you know, is always going to be good for content, but this sort of like lack of finesse in this is really funny. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be that hard to do like a more, I don't know, believable sex bot or honeypot type of like bot network that relies on getting your information or enticing you with nudes or whatever. This is just like lazy. There's something there's something where it's like they're not even trying, just pussy and bio. Even just decontextualize that phrase is really funny, like just the three words, and they don't really make sense in any other context apart from like a Twitter scam. Like, there's no other circumstance in which somebody is going to say pussy and bio to you. It only lives in the minds of like people who are too online. So I think all those things come together to make it a pretty good meme.
Yeah, I mean, I'm realizing now that I should just be on the Cancel Me Daddy account all day, just spamming cancellation in bio.
So I really laughed because this was just 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. I pulled this up. You know, I was just posting a totally normal dumb thought, nothing to do with anything. And I got one of these replies, and instead of pussy in bio, it was, again, from like a first name, bunch of numbers, garbage account. But it said, find love in bio. And I was like, wow, that is a new one. That is,
damn.
It's not pussy. It's not tits. It's not nudes. It's like,
yeah,
we're promising a lot more in bio at this point.
They're evolving.
I just looked, that account is still up. So yeah, if you want to entice people, I don't know, maybe you need to promise a little bit more than pussy. Maybe that's working.
How about like free rent in bio?
Insulin in bio. Yeah, whatever. Paid
vacation. Yeah. The other side of this, of course, is that, like, very famously and hilariously, Elon Musk has like been on this quote-unquote crusade against bots. Like, allegedly his whole motivation for buying Twitter in the first place was to combat bots. I don't know if he can call me a frequent user of the site anymore. Certainly has have cut my time down over the years, last couple of months particularly. But like, as a frequent user of the site, like, the bot problem has never been worse. Like, we used to have creative bots that would actually like respond to the conversation, but now it's like, I'll tweet like, oh man, like, UMass basketball should have won this game, and then I just get like, you know, tits and bio in response. Why can't they seem to get a handle on the bot problem? Because it's not just this. Like, there were a proliferation of bots before this kind of style came out early this year.
Yeah, the bots have always been an issue. I mean, I think before this, the big trend would have been, if you ever mention a shirt, there's like a bunch of bots that'll pop up and say like, get the shirt here. Even if you posted something like, oh, I really want a shirt with like a picture from the Holocaust on it, like, some bot would show up and like,
oh, Jesus,
deliver that. It's always been bad. Musk has always been disingenuous about this. As you said, he claimed he wanted to buy the site because the bots were such a problem. But then remember, he tried to get out of buying it because he claimed the bots were such a problem. So he's using that as justification both ways, neither of which made sense. Obviously, he was going to be forced to buy it because of the way he made the deal. Yeah, I think that one reason you might be seeing more of them too is that there's no longer kind of any quality control where like ads are concerned, and ads are kind of like a big automated part of posting. So those big advertisers are no longer there, and the ones that are there are themselves sort of scammy looking and untrustworthy anyway. There's a lot more kind of like crypto dudes in your ads and stuff like that. So yeah, the bot problem is really bad, but I think it looks even worse because even some of a lot of the paid content and a lot of the stuff that gets promoted is from, essentially grifty businesses and individuals. So yeah, you're just seeing it on all fronts. It's like not just your crappy replies where you might see the nudes and bio people, but the whole timeline is really clogged with people who are trying to game the algorithm one way or the other, and we're just getting to such weird bottom of the barrel stuff. Somebody with a bored ape avatar tweeting that they're depressed, and like then it says like ad next to that. Like, I don't understand particularly what they're going for there, but
yeah,
again, I think it's an attempt to like get someone to click through to your profile and and click on something else, and it all seems oriented to like getting you off the site and like onto whatever other platform someone wants to manipulate you with.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about the ads that I see, and it's those like little like accounts or whatever who are like seemingly monetizing their random tweets, like, I had eggs for breakfast this morning.
Yeah.
But then the other category is like Judicial Watch saying like, Democrats are like the devil spawn. Like, that's the two category of ads.
There's some like right wing legal fund that wants you to like donate to their attempts to like sue random people. The extremism is obviously part of it. Like, you kind of just can't because of the way the blue check stuff has been incentivized to, it's just like very hard to get to the tweets that are from people you follow at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's I love the term inshittification.
Same.
It seems like this is just a part of that, but it's not just Twitter that feels like it's getting worse. It seems like the entire internet ecosystem is getting worse. I'm sort of a, I don't know if internet layperson is the right word, but you know, I have, my job is on the internet. I have a podcast about the internet, but I don't necessarily spend my days studying what's going on online generally, but that's closer to what you do. You're looking for, you know, interesting, weird, fun stuff that you can write about. What's your take on the direction that the internet is currently going? What do you think the future is for the internet? And I have a follow-up to that, but I'll let you answer those two first.
Yeah, it does seem bad out there, I think, because we're seeing the decay and intrusification of the kind of big two or three sites that were kind of cohesively social. And I think one reason people sort of mourn Twitter as it is now is because it did feel like the convenient, you know, imperfect as it was, single sort of news channel and social channel that would kind of focus it all down into everything you wanted to see at once. That has definitely gone by the wayside, but you know, other big sites, you know, Facebook is, you know, maybe already long past its prime, but then Instagram and YouTube and TikTok are we're talking more about how the people who get big on those accounts are sort of creating bad precedents. And you know, if you look at a especially a platform like Twitch, has a lot of, you know, notoriously so toxic at times with some of its biggest streamers, that they ended up taking deals with this rival streamer Kick, where they were promised that, you know, they could do whatever they want and they wouldn't be constantly getting these content violations that got them thrown off the platform for a while. People are gravitating toward these alternative sites. I think, you know, it's not as though a site like Truth Social or Gab or whatever, you know, some of these or Rumble is another good example. That's kind of a right-wing friendly YouTube. It's not as though those platforms themselves change the structure of the internet so much, because they tend to remain kind of small and not as world conquering as they sort of wish they could be. But I do think it's significant that people kind of flee to these other enclaves. And you know, you could say Blue Sky is an example of that. If you're a much more kind of leftist person, I certainly have more fun there than I do on Twitter at times. And some of those sites, you know, I think Blue Sky has potential. I think some of these other sites have potential, but the very fact of the fraying of any kind of one meeting space, I mean, it's kind of ironic that Elon's whole thing is X is going to be the everything app, that you're going to do everything there. But its erosion has really sent everyone scrambling to these other sites and trying to find a way on them. And then you look at something like YouTube, where, you know, incentives and algorithms and stuff keep changing, and creators get older, and then every, I don't know if you've noticed the phenomenon that every 6 months or so there's a wave of people on YouTube who do big dramatic why I'm leaving YouTube videos, and then they seem to just come back and do it again in 6 months. But that itself, I think, just signals this pretty unhealthy relationship where we want the attention, we want to have control over the places where these discussions are happening, but then we feel that we've been gamed out of the system, or aren't being heard. We have to go somewhere else. That doesn't work. We go back to the original platform, and I don't know. I think people are becoming just more nomadic online and no longer kind of attached to any one community. And so that has contributed to the less satisfying experience, I think, as much as the bad infrastructure and failing infrastructure of some of these sites.
Yeah, I've noticed that myself as a writer too. I poured all of my energy into Twitter since 2006, and I think I'm really paying for it now because I just don't get the engagement there that I used to. I think Blue Sky is okay, primarily because a lot of my sort of OG trans Twitter mutuals kind of all ended up on Blue Sky, right? So these are the people who've been retweeting my stuff for 8 years, and I go over there and they share it there. But I don't have the reach there that I did on Twitter, where, you know, if I wrote a good article for Vox back in the day, I'd get 1,000 retweets easy. And I write something now for like MSNBC, which is arguably a larger platform. Don't quote me on that. I don't know the numbers specifically. And I'm lucky to get like 5 retweets on something now, which is crazy to me. And I'm sitting here like, I mentioned this a little bit on a different podcast that I did an interview on recently, where like I've never been more uncertain of my own future as like a journalist, as a content creator, than I am right now, in part because I don't know where to go anymore to get like new eyeballs. Twitter was always dependable because I was witty enough to go viral, or confrontational enough to go viral every couple of months, sometimes unintentionally. I'm not willing to go to the lengths that people do now to go viral on Twitter, if you know what I mean. Like,
oh yeah, you have to post real rage bait to
yeah,
those clicks. Yeah, you have to go. I mean, I just read about this recently, but you know, the person who's like, Hitler was a good painter, actually, that kind of thing.
That was wild. I mean, all he did was paint pictures of castles. Come on, man, you gotta step your game up. You know, I've tried the YouTube thing. Obviously, this podcast is moderately successful for what it is. I'm not pretty enough for Instagram. Like, where do people go to like get new eyeballs? I don't understand the new economy.
It's really hard. I get like 3 likes if I share an article on Threads now. Threads is just useless. It feels completely dead. But I see people like doing well on there. I don't know how it works. Like, it's Twitter, but it's Meta. I mean, like, I'm verified on Instagram, so I'm like, in theory, that would get me more. Like, I get a lot of followers, but no engagement. So it's just impossible to know what's going on internally at those places, or what they're sort of prioritizing. You know, Blue Sky was just like, oh, we've got hashtags now. I'm like, great. Do I care? Like, does that make, like, I don't know that a hashtag has like ever made my online experience better. Like, people's priorities are confusing to me in building these tools. So yeah, you do realize you're kind of captive and along for the ride in terms of the humiliations of self-promotion, because whatever you're good at is like not necessarily going to be the thing that the site owner wants to float to the top. And you know, on Twitter now, again, like, you kind of do get more traction just by being a piece of shit. So
yeah, well, maybe I should start like a network of spam bots, you know, podcast and bio. Yeah, I mean, and also with that, and you must feel this too as a journalist, like the journalism industry is going through this big overhaul as well.
Oh yeah, I don't think it's coincidental that the big layoffs have been in media and tech at the same time. Mm-hmm. All these places are completely restructuring or shuttering and just collapsing. I don't know if we're ever going to get like a catchy name for this, but it does feel like a mini crash in its own right, even if it's not necessarily reflected in like the market. And I guess if it were reflected in the market, it would probably be along the lines of like, oh, we have high hopes for these companies because laying off people is actually good for making money. I mean, nobody's ever going to have high hopes for media companies, but on the tech side, maybe there's more optimism. Yeah, and it's those things happening in concert with a lot of the big, really rich tech guys, in my opinion, all sort of melding into one right-wing, reactionary, anti-media type guy. Mm. You know, whether they're like the Founders Fund guys who are, you know, the Peter Thiel dudes, or, you know, Bill Ackman claiming he's going to sue Business Insider out of existence. And, you know, of course, everything Elon says about the media, these guys are just like, at the time that, you know, tech is going through this cataclysm, they're sort of deflecting on the way that Silicon Valley will have to be reshaped, and the way they're trying to reshape it by saying, well, actually, it's, you know, media, it's media's fault. We're super polarized. Media deserves to fail as they're failing now. That's just been sort of a convenient cover for them in some sense as they try to reshape some of these platforms to be like very right wing. Yeah, sucks.
You reminded me of the time when Elon Musk was like, I'm going to sue Apple because they're not advertising with us. and I was thinking back because like my first job out of college was selling radio advertising, and I'd love to just go back to like all the little local businesses in Maine that I was like trying to sell advertising for, and like going back and just suing the fuck out of everybody who said no to me.
it would be even like a protection racket. Like you just show up at the office and be like, wow, it would be a real shame if you didn't buy some ad space. Like, nice office you've got here.
Yeah, this is a nice tire shop. These tires would look good on my car.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean that Elon even put it that way, right? When he at the go fuck yourself moment, he was, I think what's even more insane than him doing that was right before he claimed that advertisers pulling out were trying to blackmail him. You're like, wow, you are really geeked off of something, because that is just an insane way of looking at it.
Yeah, and it was all like an anti-Semitism thing, right? Like he was sharing like conspiracy theories, and like the head of the ADL was saying what a great like tech leader for Jews he was at the time. I think we even touched on that in a previous episode. But like,
I mean to say, holy. To be the guy who's like, I am the free speech absolutist, and then not understand that like advertisers choosing who to partner with is literal like First Amendment shit.
Yeah.
I think we got to make him take the citizenship test again, because he's not getting it.
Yeah, that might not be a bad solution, actually. Maybe that's my immigration platform for 2024.
Like, I'm not going to pretend we'll be lucky enough to deport him, but come on, let's do something.
Listen, whoever runs on deport Elon Musk gets my vote. That's all I'm saying. Miles, for our listeners who maybe aren't already familiar with your work, like, where can they continue to follow your stuff?
Yeah, you can find my byline at Rolling Stone. That's pretty easy. On Twitter, since I've been banned a couple times, don't worry about it. I'm at You Wouldn't Post, sort of like the meme of you wouldn't steal a car. And just my name on Blue Sky, Miles Klee, and everywhere else, the Instagram threads where no one likes my stuff. And something new I've been working on is this great writers collective called Flaming Hydra. And it's about 60 really phenomenal writers. It's like great company to be in. Even if you think I suck, you will find many other people on there that you love. You can subscribe to that for like a pretty low price for the year. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. You get kind of like two pieces in the newsletter every day from different writers. So we all contribute like once a month. And we just split all the money from that amongst ourselves, which is potentially a cool solution to some of the problems we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And it's been very exciting so far, so I really recommend checking out Flaming Hydra.
All right. So, Miles, are you ready for some out-of-context cancellations?
Let's cancel these fools.
The first one that we're canceling, and I feel this personally, is we're canceling skill set atrophy.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah, so I'm feeling this myself, actually, because for the longest time, I was just a straight up reporter, right? I would go out, I would interview people, or I would look into a story, and I would write it up from like a very news basis. And for the last couple of years, I've been almost exclusively opinion. So my reporting skills have like declined. I like forget how to like do interviews and like actually dig into things. I've had a couple of op-ed opportunities, like regular gigs, kind of go out the window. I'm back to doing reporting, so I'm definitely feeling this skill set atrophy in my own work.
See, I just like I get around that by not developing skills in the first place, so then there's nothing to lose.
Why didn't I think of that?
You know, I do. I used to be a lot better at playing the piano, and I'm mad mm-hmm. that I. Mad that I can no longer play, you know, WC or whatever. But, you know, not being able to have an actual piano in my house that sort of contributes to that. I've just got my little keyboard. You know, it's not the same.
The next one is a big one, and I couldn't agree more with it. But we're canceling AI.
Yeah, big time. That seems uncontroversial to me. Even the people who are trying to make AI won't stop talking about how it's going to kill us all, but they're like,
yeah,
you know, like Sam Altman at OpenAI, they're just acting like they're helpless to continue developing it, even though it's an existential threat. It is the weirdest position to take. I just don't know what you're talking about, dude.
My big hope is that everybody realizes that like this early AI stuff is just all trash, and it ends up being like the CGI thing in Hollywood, where like all of these like directors and studios are like, there's no CGI in my Top Gun movie, and meanwhile it's like mostly GI. Like there are frames where there's more CGI in Top Gun Maverick than there was in like Avengers Endgame, which everybody thinks of as like the big CGI thing, and I'm hoping it becomes like just unacceptable to the entertainment market. But maybe I'm dreaming too big.
Yeah, I don't know. It could some of this early stuff I think could be in for the NFT treatment, where the hype just completely collapses because we realize that, you know, the what you can mostly use it for is like tricking parents into taking their kids to like a fake Willy Wonka event, where
I was wondering if you're gonna bring that
it's
up.
it's just an empty warehouse with like some props. That guy, yeah, he made the whole website. All the advertising copy is AI. I think people are sort of getting a little bit more attuned to the fact that AI is like a scam, because it's used primarily by scammers and people who want to make deep fake nudes of Taylor Swift and stuff like that. And I don't know if you know, the entertainment industry itself can be sort of powerful in terms of you know, when they're not complicit in this, as the, you know, they try to keep all the AI stuff in during the strike negotiations. But if they could be made sort of a force against that, just because they realize that it's sort of a threat to the industry rather than like something that's going to help them because it's actually trash, that could be huge. So if anyone could cancel it, I think, you know, as people pointed out, it could be Taylor Swift. If she goes to testify in front of Congress, that could be it.
True. I was just thinking maybe I should do an AI blog as a bit. I think that would be an all-timer.
See if people can tell the difference.
The next one is way, way more specific than the last two, but I actually don't eat ketchup, so this one I can't relate to, but it's cancel the ketchup juice that ruins your sandwich if you don't shake the bottle.
Oof.
It sounds like somebody had a really unfortunate lunch experience.
Stuff is so gross. Yeah, you gotta squeeze off to the side, like not on your food. Yeah, or like even over the sink or something. Just get get that kind of I guess it's condensation at the top of the bottle or something, but it's kind of just like it's kind of just like red water that's on the very top of the ketchup. It seems to only be a problem in the plastic bottles, I'll say. So you might well also want to switch over to glass if you can.
I never thought we'd get ketchup wisdom from Miles Cleah on the show today, but this is amazing.
I don't use it a lot, but you know, as a kid,
yeah,
I developed strategies.
Now I am gonna add just the slightest bit of context to this next one. I know this was submitted by somebody who literally just came out publicly as trans, has a new phase in their trans identity.
Nice, congratulations.
Yeah, and this listener wants to cancel being scared to go for a non-stealth run in their own neighborhood. So they want to take a run, like presenting as their true self, but they are scared to go and they want to cancel that, which I'm taking it upon myself to cancel it personally.
Yeah, I would 100% cancel that. And, you know, even though I can't relate to this exact experience, I am a runner. And I believe in going out in whatever the fuck gear I want. I have really ugly running shorts that I bought on sale. I have hideous Hoka shoes that I love running in. I think when you're running, you're allowed to dress and present however you want. That's one of the rules of running, because if you are out there running, no one can question you. You're doing the right thing.
That's a good point. Reminds me of my running days myself. Which are long past me, and brings me to the next one on the list, canceling back and neck pain.
Ooh, I feel that.
Yeah, same. I have the computer like posture, and it's just not good.
When I get my hair cut, the barber has to like pull my shoulders back because I'm doing like the blogger hunch. And recently I did have a couple of days of my lower back really hurting in a way that was pretty alarming to me. And then I actually did like 10 minutes of stretches and it totally went away. And then I was even more pissed that like stretching works. So don't be afraid to stretch.
The listeners know this, but I'm going through physical therapy for my shoulder because I actually got a gaming injury, which is just the most embarrassing thing ever. But one of the first things that my physical therapist said was, okay, you have a shoulder problem, but we need to fix your posture too. And I was like, oh no, they figured out I'm an internet gremlin.
Opened up a whole can of worms there, yeah.
And then unbeknownst to you, I'm adding a secret out of context cancellation today. Ooh. I am canceling myself because I did not ask you at all about Overwatch Rule 34.
You can find Overwatch porn. I've reported on it. It actually made it into Rolling Stone, the print magazine, believe it or not.
Oh, that's amazing.
For some reason, everyone who makes Overwatch porn seems to be in like Bulgaria. I don't know what it is, but everyone I found to interview is like an Eastern European who makes Overwatch porn. So I don't know if it's just a cottage industry specific to the region, but
yeah,
keep up the good work because there's clearly a huge market for it. And and it's honestly some of the stuff people make is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'm in that tiny demographic that does not partake in the porn but likes the game, so I think that's kind of the rarest combination of all of them. Well, Miles, thanks again for coming on. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you, and you're not canceled to me. Yeah. Anyway.
Thanks. You can submit your own out of context cancellations on our Discord, which you can join by becoming a Patreon supporter. You can learn about that and other perks at patreon.com/cancelmedaddy. It's never been more critical to show your support for this show financially. We recently took on an editor and everything seems to be getting more expensive. So if you like the show, support us over there. Today's show was made by me, Caitlin Burns, and my amazing editor, Maria Palilogas. D. Peter Schmidt made our theme song and Eden MW designed our graphics. Our show is made possible by the incredible cancelers supporting our work, especially the member of our Canceler Hall of Fame, with the great power to cancel all their enemies. Meg, we appreciate your support. Happy canceling!